One of the most important thing the Lord started dealing with me last year.
You know what happened? I was going here and there and preaching and teaching, but that was really important. That my prayer life was kind of diminishing. I said, no, that's not really a good thing. Because what happened when we came from, you know, South Africa to United States, we were really on fire for Jesus. You know, pray with tears and cry before the Lord. But this country, it's a great country. But at the same time, it's a dangerous country. Spiritually, it's dangerous. Let me explain to you, because everything is so easy, and it's so easy to become a lukewarm. Yes. It's very easy to lose the first love. And what I found out, I lost my tears. I said, you know, I cannot, you know, I'm not going to allow this thing to happen with me. I cried before the Lord. I really cried before the Lord. I was really praying and crying before the Lord. I said, God, I want my tear back. I cannot pray without the tears. So, you know, I was praying and praying. And last year, the Lord took me to Israel. And then when we went to the Wailing Wall, that was only my prayer. God, I want my tear back. You know, praise God. And one of my guides, you know, he said, you know, to call God from here, it's a local call. You know, when you guys call from America, it's a long distance. So from here, it's a local call. I say, you know, praise God for that. And actually, I learned really, you know, that where Jacob was, you know, laying down the gate of heaven. Right there, up there. So praise God. Glory to Jesus. So I got my tear back. You know, glory to Jesus. And one of the things I really praying, and I really like the church, those who praying more diligently, more hard than anything. You know, because the, you know, how you can measure your ministry, how you can measure your spiritual life. It's not how much you can preach. It's not how many books you have read. It's how much you pray. How much time you spend with the Lord. Amen? That's really important, because God is seeking the people, those who can spend time with Him, that He could use us. That's really something. And I will encourage each one of you to spend more time in prayer. And then God starts speaking to me, you know, like in the Bible. If you have a Bible, open your Bible. You know, Psalm 2. This is a very famous verse. Everybody should know this. If you are a Christian, you should know this verse. Psalm 2 verse 8. If you are a true disciple of Lord Jesus Christ, you should know this verse. Because this verse says, ask of me, I shall give thee the heathens for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. You know, yesterday when we announced that I'm available to speak, you know, for Sunday morning and Sunday night, I praise God, you know, Brother Russell, he approached to me, asked me to come. It was a short notice, but praise God for the love, you know, he and the Pastor Joshua have for the nations. And they want to be a partner with our ministry. You know, I was greatly blessed to know this thing, because we have the vision for the nations. You know, I was reading something that everybody have the eyes and they can look. But the most important eyes are those eyes, those who can see. Amen?
Amen.
And that seeing part is only going to happen through the Holy Spirit. The seeing part is the vision. To have the vision for the nations. Amen?
Amen.
That's really, really important. And I am really blessed. You know, brother, You know, I am really blessed, and it will be a great honor to stand alongside, you know, and work together to see the nations to be added into the kingdom of Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I say. I don't want to go alone to heaven. I want to take millions with me to heaven. And if this become, you know, the desire of each one of you this morning, praise God, we can see the lives change. Nothing is impossible with God, please. It's, you know, problem is not with God, problem is with us. Because we have a very little time for God, and we want to see, you know, the mighty and great things to be accomplished. It's not going to happen. If you're looking for a big things to happen, if you're looking for a, you know, that God will do a mighty great things, I think you have to spend a mighty great time with the Lord. Amen? Because we must have to have a relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this morning my wife and I, you know, prayed at least for 1 hour. You know, she is in Denver and I'm here, but we pray over the phone. Doesn't matter where I am in the world, you know, I'm going to pray together. And when we are home, we almost spend 2 to 3 hours every day praying. And we have a one passion. And I this is my prayer that all of you could, you know, could get obsessed with this idea. We going to see the hand of God, the power of God, you know, the ways of God, are going to be, be seeing, in our lives. Going to see those things. Not just, we're talking about God. We don't want to talk about God. We want to show God. You know, amen? With a demonstration through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just talk about God. That's the problem in the United States. We talk about God. You know, when I go to preach and teach, people take notes and notes and notes. They're writing all the notes. They're filling their notebooks. And we like to take notes. We like to take notes on prayer. We like to read books on a prayer. It's like, we have all sorts of recipe books in our homes. But how many of you really use those recipe books? It's just sitting on a shelf. Same thing of prayer, We like to learn. We like to take notes. But we don't use. So what I am encouraging the church, I'm going to begin, we have begun with our own lives. And I'm encouraging that it will become a contagious, and all of you could get this desire, a passion. That we're going to spend more and more time with the Lord and His presence. And we're going to see that God is moving. Amen? Amen. God is moving. We need to see the blind eyes are open. We need to see the cripples are walking. We need to see the dead arise. You know, praise God. You know, because Jesus said, you will even do greater things than I did. Where are those greater things? Hello? We need to see those greater things. Amen? Because, that's why I said this morning, I was so glad when I saw some sisters, they were praying in spirit. I was so glad that I can speak freely. You know, this church is not going to tell me, that those things were seized with the disciples. No, it is happening even today. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. You know, in my own ministry, I'm just telling you, for God's glory, I saw the cripple walk. I saw the blind eyes open. Even one time God raised the dead. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Problem is not with God. Problem is with us. We are not spending time with the Lord. You know, so I'm going to be sharing some of my story with you. This is my taken name, Mujahid al-Masih, which is not my ID name, by the way, for security reasons, but it's to have a good meaning. It means warrior for Jehovah Jesus Christ. In English, it'll be called Michael. There was a little boy, he was helping me, Michael. You know, praise God. Thank you, Michael. So we have a similar name.
Glory to Jesus. We love Muslims. We want to see them to be saved. Amen? Amen. You know, brother, Pastor Joshua was talking about, you know, he is from, you know, he have an Armenian background, and almost his entire family was killed by those Muslims. And I said, brother, we have a good news. You know, one thing, we're going to take a revenge for your, you know, killed family. How? Our revenge is against Muslims is to let's preach the gospel to them and bring them to Christ Jesus. Amen? That is our revenge. You know, because we want to see these people saved. And when once they are saved, they will not do those things anymore. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. You know, I have only one wife. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. You know, because to have one wife, it's a blessing. Two daughters. Our goal is reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. You know, and equipping churches in the United States to reach Muslim for Jesus. You know, obviously we have a vision for the persecuted church also. Because this is one of the things which really changed my life, how I should be praying for somebody. Have you heard this gesture? People will say, I'm going to be praying for you. Have you heard this thing? But they don't really pray. They say, I'm going to be praying for you, but they don't really pray. I did the same thing. But one day, Holy Spirit rebuked me. You know how you're telling that, you know, I'm going to be praying, but you didn't pray it. You're lying. Many of us, you know, lie. Because we want the people should be feeling good about us. But really, I understood, when you are going to pray for somebody, you know, you must pray the way the Bible describes. The Bible says, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. You know, when Jesus said, when I was in prison, you visited me. What does that mean? Like in the old days, the prisons were not like the way we have today in the United States. In the old days, if somebody is arrested, it is not the government's job to provide them the food. It is the job of the family people to provide them the food, to meet the needs of those people. So now, if somebody is arrested, if Christians are arrested, now the other Christians need to go and feed that person, take care of his needs. It means that the guy who is arrested and the others, those who are going to go and support him and provide him, they are also in the same danger to be arrested. Are you getting it? So that's what love is. That's what, you know, the Bible says, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. What is going to happen? If you go and feed that person, there's a chance for you to be arrested too. And those who are mistreated as if you yourself are suffering. So that's the kind of love God is telling us to demonstrate, because God is love and He loves, you know, us and He cares for us. And this is really something I learned, that, you know, how we should love the people, those who are suffering for Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, as you see in this world map, all these countries are the countries where Christians are suffering the most. They even get killed in those countries for their faith. Most of those countries are Islamic countries. In a Muslim country, there's no freedom of speech, freedom of religion. But the amazing thing, God is really moving in the Muslim countries more than any other country. I mean, last year we baptized over 2,500 people in Pakistan, just through our ministry. I was watching a video clip, which I will send it to you. In Indonesia, in every 15 seconds, this video is not put by the Christians. This video is put by the Muslim people, those who are scared of what is taking place in Indonesia. In every 15 seconds, one Muslim is becoming Christian and they are predicting if the you know the conversion rates stay the same in 2030, you know, the Indonesia will not be the largest Muslim country in the world anymore. They are going to lose that status. Praise God. In Iran,
you know, Romania and Iran next to each other,
every month over 800 to 900 Muslims are becoming Christian. And most of them are becoming Christian by having dreams and visions of Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe in that?
Yes.
You know, because the Bible says, in the last days I will pour my spirit upon every flesh. Praise God. People are having a vision, a dream, and the people over here, they don't want to believe those things. You know, yesterday, one of the guys, he met me at the conference saying, "No, Pastor, I'd like you to come and speak in our church, but don't talk about dreams and visions. Because my pastor doesn't believe in those things." I say, "Oh, it's in the Bible. And it is happening. I mean, over 6 million Muslims are becoming Christian every year in a Muslim country, and 80% of them, you know, becoming Christian by having dreams and visions. And how are you going to stop God not to do those things? Because my pastor doesn't believe." You know, that's your own idea. You know, one of the things, when you came in, you know, we gave you these, pamphlets and brochures. You know, you may find in your pamphlet this sign-up card. I will request you to fill out this card with your name and the address and email address. You know, what's going to happen when you do that? You know, you will start receiving a free magazine from Voice of the Martyrs, which will inform you what is happening in those countries, how Christians are suffering for their faith, and how you can pray for them. Amen? I know that you cannot go over there, but one thing you can do, you can remember them in prayer, as the Word of God says. Amen?
Amen.
So then, a couple more things I'm going to be sending you, because we want to see Muslims saved. Amen? And I'm going to send you a copy of the Quran, two copies of the Quran, really good translation. Second, I'm going to be sending you an explanation of the Quran, what Quran really says. And the third thing, the Sharia, the Islamic law, threat to America. How Muslims are trying to bring the Sharia law, Islamic law, in this country, to take over in this country. So be aware what is, you know, happening and what is going to take place. So please, please, you know, understand this thing, because we're living in the last days and something is about to happen in next three, you know, next 4 years, okay? So please be aware, be ready. Maybe, you know, you will be in heaven. Amen? Praise God, there's a possibility. So one of the things I will really encourage you, what God is showing to me, I have narrowed my life, really, really narrowed my life. I am not walking on a Broadway anymore, you know, because the time is too short. We really have to live a holy and pure life for Jesus Christ. You know, close all the windows and doors around us and just open up one window, one door toward heaven. Amen. That is something I will encourage you, because we're living in the last days and something is about to happen in coming few years. You know, something is about to happen. Please be prepared, be ready, because this is really something. So fill out those informations. My book is not there, but you know, CDs and DVDs are there. So visit that, and let me share some of my story. I come from a country called Islamic Republic of Pakistan. That is the official name of that country. I was born and grew up there, and as I was growing up and, you know, there in Pakistan, I went in a government school. Sister Basirat is from Pakistan.
My parents.
Yeah, she knows something about...
And so is she.
Okay. Do you speak Punjabi, Urdu?
Punjabi.
Okay. So now, you know, in Pakistan, state religion in Pakistan is Islam. 97% people in Pakistan are Muslim. Okay. There is no freedom of speech. Is that right? There is no freedom of religion. They say in the constitution, they say there is a freedom of religion, but there is a big gap between words and deeds. If you ever say anything negative about Islam, or Quran, or Muhammad, what will happen? Blasphemy law, 295, you know, A, B, C, you're going to be arrested, you're going to be killed. And most of the time,
people are killed even before they arrive in the court. That's what happened. Christians are treated very, very bad over there. Most of the Christians involved in menial jobs, cleaning bathroom toilets, sweeping roads for the Muslims. Most of them. Not all of them, but most of them. Saying this is what happened in that country. You know, Islamic studies in the schools is compulsory. That's another thing. Many Christians, you know, as I was showing, you know, let me share with you. I will go back, you know, here's a map of Pakistan. I was born in this area, grew up there, and as I was growing up, I went in a government school where I was taught the Quran right from the grade one. It's very difficult. And can you read that, Arabic?
No.
Okay. I was forced to read the Quran. I was beaten by my Muslim teacher very badly. And let me show you how it looks like. This is what it looks like. But what it really says, you know, here, you know the word qatl? What does that mean? To kill. Here's, can you read this? You know, like, it's in Arabic, but qatl, see that? Qatl mean murder. You know, murder the Jews and Christians and keep them in a lower position. Then, Jews and Christians are the most evil animals. They will abide in the hellfire. This is what the Quran teaches. There are over 300 verses in the Quran which talks about jihad, killing in the name of Allah is an act of worship. That's what Quran teaches. I believed, I practiced. After doing my high school, I went to college. I did my pre-med. I was hoping to be a medical doctor. I decided to go in the military for three main reasons. After the college, I applied in the military. I passed the exam. And I went as an officer in the military. There were three main reasons. Number one was, because I will be officer. Second one was, you know, the government will take care of my medical college. The third one was that one day I will die in jihad. We were taught to hate India, Israel, West, all those things. And if you die in jihad, your sins will be forgiven. You will go to paradise. And in paradise, what is the reward? Every Muslim man is going to have a 72 virgin wives in paradise. And he will be busy with them 24/7. That's a reward. It's in the Quran. I can show you. If you have any doubt, I can show you. But I say, you know, those Muslim martyrs, I feel sorry for them. Because if somebody have a 72 wives, not really a paradise. It'll be sort of punishment. If you have one wife, you're blessed. Amen? Praise God. But what happened to me, when I was in the military, one morning, when I got up early in the morning, I heard an audible voice. Like Saul, when he was on his way to Damascus. Like Samuel. I heard this voice, and this voice told me, you know, this job which you have is going to lead you toward destruction. You must come out of this place. And I prayed, oh God, if this is not your will for me to be in this place, please take me out of this place. I didn't understand the difference between Allah and God of the Bible in that time. I used to think that Allah and God of the Bible, they both are the same. But reality is, Allah is not the same God.
Yes.
He is totally and completely opposite what we believe about God and who God is according to the Bible. Many people would say, you know, oh, Allah is the same God, like God of the Bible. Even Muslims, they say, you know, Allah is the same. No, that's not right. Okay, let me give you a test. What do you believe, sister? Do you believe Allah is the same, like the God of the Bible? No, He is not the same, because there are 99 names of Allah in the Quran, but you will not find the name like, you know, Allah is the Father. It's a blasphemy to say Allah is my Father. Allah is not love. Okay. One of the names of Allah according to the Quran is Malakul Maut.
Malakal Maut, Maut is what?
King of death.
King of death. Yeah. Is that right?
King of death.
Yes. So, our God is not a God of death. Our God, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Praise God. Our God is alive. He is not dead. Praise God. So we see, you know, so you know Arabic a little bit. Praise God. You.
I'm Palestinian.
Oh, praise God. That's a, you know the Arabic a lot then.
I came from
Mom. Oh, glory to Jesus. That's so wonderful. So you can read it.
Yeah, not 100%, but a lot.
Oh, that's a... So you're the best person to tell this one.
No, I don't want to.
So you know what katol mean?
Yeah.
You know, katol is, you know, that's what it says. You know, murder them, fight against them. So that's what the Quran says. So that's a good thing, you know, that I have two, three witnesses here.
You know, what I'm saying is right. So you can, you know... You know, these girls can testify that I'm speaking the right thing.
Okay, so what happened, you know, thank God, God took me out of that place, and then after a few years, God allowed me to attend a Christian meeting where, you know, a Christian pastor shared the gospel, and praise God, you know, I got saved, and then God filled me with His Holy Spirit. This was so powerful thing happened to me. He gave me the desire to read His Word, and I remember in my first study, I read the whole gospel of Matthew, then Mark, Luke, that this is the way I was reading the Bible, and then I started going out to start preaching the gospel. You know what happened? Many people were touched. I remember there's some, you know, some teenagers, they gave their life to Jesus. They were very happy. And they went to their parents, told the parents that, you know, we are Christian. The parents were unhappy. They invited me over. I was thinking, I'm going to share the gospel with the parents. So I went to meet the parents. So when I went there, the dad of those children, he took me in his room, locked the room, and took a stick and started beating. And after lots and lots of beating, he said, call your God, I want to see if he comes to rescue you. I said, I don't hold anything against you. Because I learned from the Bible, Jesus said, love your enemies and those who persecute you, pray for them. When I said this thing, thank God, He let me go. He didn't kill me. But I was a bit discouraged. I said, man, this is a very dangerous job to be a preacher. I shouldn't be a preacher. You know, I start praying this prayer. Oh, God, I will go to church every Sunday because I have learned to play the music. I was able to play the accordion, keyboard, and trumpet. So I said, God, I will go to church every Sunday. I will be a choir leader. I don't want to be a preacher. So what happened, when I went back to my church next Sunday, that Sunday my pastor preached about Jonah. When I heard that sermon, I said, okay, God, I will be a preacher. But I have a problem. God, you know my potential job was to be a medical doctor, and now you're telling me to be a preacher, and Christians are the poor people in Pakistan, and how are you going to provide for me? And the Lord showed me, read Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air, they have no harvest stores or barns, but I provide for them. Seek ye the kingdom of God, His righteousness first, and all these things will be added unto you. Praise God. You know, I can tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, you don't need to be worried about your future. You don't need to be worried about tomorrow. You need to be really a man, a woman of prayer. And when you will pray according to the word of God, the things gonna happen. Many people, they get scared, you know, about the economy, about the recession, about this and that. If you really start praying, you know, it's a 20 years. 20 years ago, God spoke to me that word which I put in front of us, you know, in front of you on the screen. That word was a rhema word to me. It changed my life. I said, God, I'm going to follow you no matter if I have a food or no food. No matter if I have a place to live or no place to live, I'm going to follow you. And I can tell you for the last 20 years, you know, God has not failed me for a single day. He always has provided. Amen. Praise God. You know, one thing, you ask yourself this question. You know, many times people, you know, this is like another crazy thing. You know, you ask people in America. No, pastor, you know, brother, you praying, what God is saying about your prayer request? People say, God is saying me three things. You know,
Yes, no, and not right now. I said, there is no such thing in the Bible. And then there's another thing people say, you know, God is going to be glorified through my sickness. Have you heard that? Where in the Bible where God caused somebody to be sick and God was glorified? Hello?
When Jesus made, you know, the cripple to walk, God was glorified.
When Jesus opened the blind eyes, God was glorified. When Jesus raised the dead, God was glorified. You know, sometimes people say, no, how about the blind guy who was, you know, born blind and Jesus said it's for God's glory. If he stayed blind, God is not going to be glorified. But his eyes were open and God was glorified. Amen?
Praise God. That's another wrong understanding about the Word of God. My brother, sister, you know what? You know, let me give you an example. You know, we were in a trouble one time. And I told my wife, you know, we're going to pray. We're not going to eat. We're not going to drink. We're not going to sleep on the beds. We're going to go crazy. And, you know, let's pray.
And start praying. And 2 days, we were on the floor for, you know, praying. Amen? Praying. And after 2 days, I heard the knock at the door. And our answer was waiting outside. Praise God. How much you get crazy about the answer. How desperate you are to receive the answer.
It's not. The problem is not with God. Problem is with us. We don't even know how to pray. We don't know, you know, like when you pray, you know, like Daniel, he started praying. His answer, you know, he got the answer on the very first day, but, you know, to have the answer, it came after 21 days. Why? Because the demonic forces stopping the answer. So we must keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on praying, get obsessed, get, you know, desperate. Till you get the answer. Amen? Because all the promises of God are with yes and amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. So don't worry about tomorrow. You know, the devil is going to scare you. You know, even he scares me sometimes. Although God has given me His Word, you know, I get scared. You know, what's going to happen tomorrow? You know, honestly, I'm speaking very honestly. Then God reminds me His Word. Praise God. As long as you keep the Word of God in front of you, praise God, you're not going to be stumbled. That's something, you know. So praise God. God took me to Bible college, did my studies, came back, started a church. Within a year and a half, we were able to start 14 churches in different parts of Pakistan. I saw all kinds of miracles happening. Glory to Jesus. Casting out demons was, you know, every single day we cast out demons. Because that's what Jesus said, you will cast out demons in my name. Amen. Praise the Lord. This Muslim guy sharing his personal testimony in my home church, how he got saved. His own mother poisoned the food to kill him, but poison didn't work. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God says, even if you have a, you know, drink a deadly poison for my name's sake, it will not hurt you. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. When we were working there, we were accused by the Muslim that we have torn the pages of the Quran, written evil things against Muhammad. They spread that news about us. Within 2-3 hours, there were about 70 to 80,000 Muslims with the 400 Pakistani government police. They came, first of all, they started looting and robbing our houses. Then they started burning our houses. They burned on our 1,500 Christian home. 13 church buildings were destroyed. Everything we had were gone. You can see in these pictures. Everything we had were gone, destroyed. They even attack on our animals, like cows and other animals are burned alive by the hands of these Muslims. And I was in one of the towns which was under the attack of Muslim people. When I saw the mob is coming, they were shouting, kill the Christians, burn the home, destroy the churches, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You understand what does that mean? Allah is greater. People think, you know, let me explain to you why they use that word, Allahu Akbar. Do you know that, sister?
Yeah. Like a... Well,
you know, Allah is greater. Akbar means not the greatest, not the great. It means greater. Why? If you read the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, where Jesus, it's talk about the devil. The devil says, I'm going to build my throne greater than the Most High.
You know, he used the word, you know, the second degree in all those words. I'm going to be greater. I'm going to be higher than the Most High. I'm going to be this, greater. It's very interesting that when Muslim they use word Allahu Akbar, you know, it means greater. Allah is greater than any other God. Okay, so it's exact word of Satan. And if you read the word in Surah 3, verse 54, you know, I'm just saying these Surah mean chapter. Are you getting it, sister? Surah mean chapter, Surah 3, verse 54. It say, "Wa Allah khairul makreen." Makar. Do you know the word makar? You know the word makar? Makar? Makar mean cunning, evil. Okay? So it says Allah wa Allah khair al makreen. The word khair mean the biggest, the top. Khair. The mean biggest, the top. Makara. This cunning. Evil. So it's even in the Quran saying Allah is the best of all,
evil schemer. Deceiver.
Allah is the best of all evil schema. Allah is the best of all deceiver. So in other words, so then who Allah is? He's the devil. So that's what happened. That's what they were shouting. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. They were slow, shouting for the devil. I knew that I'm going to get killed. I saw the mob is coming toward us. I went on my knees and I lift my hands toward heaven. I said, "Father God, if this is a day for me to die, I'm willing to die for you. But help me when these Muslims come to kill me. I will not deny your name, because your word says, 'Be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life.'" And Jesus said, "If you will confess me before people, I will also confess you before my Father in heaven." And Jesus also said, "If you will lose your life for my sake, you will find it." That was my prayer. Lord, I don't want to deny Jesus. Please help me. It's okay to die for Jesus, because it's worth it. Because in reality, Muslims are just killing our bodies. They cannot destroy our souls. We are indestructible. Praise God. Amen. So that's really a powerful thing we must understand. My younger daughter, she was only 4 days old when my hometown was burned by the Muslim. The older one was 15 months old. It was a very difficult time for us. After 3 days, when we returned back to our, town, everything in our house, in our town was destroyed. Nothing was left, but we have a Sunday morning worship service without the church building. All those 20,000 Christians, they came back to worship Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You can see in these pictures, they are praising and worshiping God, glory to Jesus. And then we preach, I preach there. We don't have to hold anything against those Muslims. We forgive them. We love Muslims. We want to see them to be saved. We have no hate toward them. Although they burned our 1,500 homes, the sisters, mothers, wives, daughters were abused. All kinds of evil things happened to us. There's only one book tells you to love your enemies. And that is the Holy Bible. Amen. Praise God. After 5 months, I got a call from the Bible college, where I studied in South Africa. They asked me to come over and share what happened in Pakistan. So I took my wife and two little babies to South Africa to share the story. When we went there, when church heard the story, they were very grieved and angry. They said, "Why Muslims have done those things?" Answer is very simple. They don't know Jesus. Anyway, the church in South Africa, they decided to go and protest against the government of Pakistan right in front of the Pakistani embassy. When they were protesting, the ambassador asked them, "Who gave you all these information about the burned town in Pakistan?" They told my name to him. Then he told back to the government of Pakistan. Then my name came in a newspaper. Wanted person on hit list. We were not able to go back to Pakistan anymore. I cried on that day. I said, "Oh Lord, why you allow this thing to happen with us? I will not be able to see my brothers, sisters, my parents anymore." I have not seen many of them more than 15 years. But the Word of God encourages me every single day. If you love your father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you love anything more than Jesus,
You are not worthy to be his disciple. This is really something we must understand. Who is number one in our lives? If Jesus is not number one in our lives, there is something wrong with our Christian faith. We must make sure that Jesus is, and Jesus is going to be, and he will remain number one in our life. So praise God. Some of the people in South Africa, they told me, Pastor, you should quit preaching. You should change your profession. I said, this is not my profession. This is my call. I cannot change it. I'm going to keep preaching till I will take my last breath. Praise God. You know, I was preaching in South Africa. Local Muslims start coming after us. There's a big organization in South Africa. It's called International Islamic Propagation Center. You know, if you have heard that name, Ahmad Didat, you know, he get millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, you know, to promote Islam in Africa. So that's the kind of things they're doing. They're going to those, you know, the poor people and say, you know, we will provide you the money, we will provide you the grocery, we will provide you a job, you just change your name and ID, you know, and have a Muslim name. That's what they're doing. And they appointed people after me that wherever they will find me, they must kill me. We were threatened in one town. We ran from that town to another town. Then we end up staying in a Christian doctor's home. This doctor said, you know, you're welcome to stay, but you must preach in my medical clinic every morning before I will see the patient. I said, sure. So I start preaching in this medical clinic. People were giving their life to Jesus. We took the people right from the medical clinic to the swimming pool, baptizing them. Glory to Jesus. Then Muslim found out about me. The reason, you know, why they were hunting me, because Muslims were giving their life to Jesus. Let me share a story with you. And one day I received a phone call from a Muslim girl. She said, you know, could you pray for my mother? She has a breast cancer. I said, okay, we will pray for your mother. And let me tell you, Jesus Christ is the healer. I am not the healer. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast for your mother. So I fasted for 2 days. And in the same week, I got news that she has been healed from the breast cancer. Glory to Jesus. Now, this lady have 4 daughters. They came to see me in the doctor's home. And they gave their life to Jesus. Now, what happened? The son is not happy. Why? Because he's the priest of the big mosque over there. So he doesn't want to listen to the name of Jesus. And especially his own family changed. He was not happy. Now, there was another lady. She had a womb cancer. And God touched her and brought healing to her. You know, glory to Jesus, she became Christian. That's why the Muslims were really after me. Because they thought, I'm an enemy of Islam. Because changing the people. I'm not changing. Jesus Christ is changing. Amen? Amen. Glory to Jesus. So what happened? You know, one morning they caught me in this town, and they were really mad at me. They wanted to kill me, but God delivered me from the hands. It was just like, you know, how they lower Paul in the basket. It was like that, you know. You know, the doctor took me in a different route. He took me to Johannesburg. So when we were there, after a couple of months, the government of South Africa, they came after us. They say, you know, sorry, we cannot keep you anymore because Muslims are putting a lot of pressure on us. That we must be sent back to Pakistan. And if he will allow you to stay here, Pakistani government is not going to be happy. Muslims are not going to be happy. So we have to send you back to Pakistan. We said if we go there, they're going to kill us. They said it's not our problem. Because we like to stay in a good relationship with the Muslims and the Pakistani government. Then we went to the US consulate for help. They refused to help us. They said, no, according to our law, you should be back in your own country to apply for your visas for United States. If you want to apply for your visas for United States from South Africa, you should be a South African citizen. You should have a job here. You should have a property here. You should have a big bank account. All these papers you need. You know that. You know, you were born here. You came from Pakistan? Yeah, so you need a lot of papers to come to get a visa for United States. So, I have none of those. Then they say, you know, we cannot help you. We went to the United Nations office. They refused to help us. We only have 15 days. And after 15 days, we're going to be sent back to Pakistan and we're going to be killed over there. I told my wife, I'm ready to die for Jesus. She said to me, she's ready to die for Jesus. But what about our children? If we go with our children, they may use
our children to break our faith. So let's pray this prayer. This was so difficult thing for us to pray. God put in somebody's heart that our children to be adopted by somebody here in South Africa. We don't know what's going to happen to us, but at least our children will live. As a parent, you understand, you know, if you are alive, you don't want that somebody to take care of your children or adopt your children. It was so painful prayer, but there was no other choice. But as we were thinking about those things, Lord inspired my wife to fast and pray like Esther in the Bible, no food, no water, for 3 days and three nights, absolute fast. And we pray, Lord God, we have heard stories how Christians took Bible, restricted nations, how they were searched by the customs, the police. They did not see those Bible with those Christians. Could you do us this favor? As we go this time to the U.S. consulate, please close the eyes of these people in the Consulate General of the United States. They will not be able to see our Pakistani passports as a Pakistani passport. They will not be able to see the stamp which is placed by the South African government on our passport. They will not be able to see the expiry dates on our passport. We have no money to pay for our visa fee, no money to buy plane tickets. In those days, I didn't even have a credit card. So we prayed and fasted. And after we prayed and fasted, we called one church over there, asked them if they can give us a lift to the U.S. consulate. Thank God they sent the church driver. This church driver took us to the U.S. consulate. And as I came out of the car, it was an act of faith. You know what? We believe we must act. Amen? Amen. So what happened? As I came out of the car, I said, Lord Jesus, let's go to the U.S. consulate. And I started walking like this. You know, holding the hand of Jesus, walking with Jesus. If somebody look at me, they will think, this guy's a crazy. Because they won't be able to see Jesus. But I was feeling that He is with me. I'm holding His hand and walking with Jesus to the U.S. consulate. And here we submit those applications. And this lady, she took our application. She didn't even look at me, who I am. And she said to me, come after 3 days and collect your passports. And the amazing thing, she handed me a receipt for the 4 payments which you have made toward our visa fee. I didn't give her a cent. I didn't give her a penny. Please understand, you know, there was no money given toward, you know, toward our visa fee. It was Jesus walking with us. Amen. Then, you know, we came out, this brother, the church driver, he said, Pastor, are you going to United States? I said, yes. He said, do you have money to buy plane tickets? I said, no. He said, you guys should have a big box to buy 4 plane tickets. I said, we don't have big box, it's a big God. Because since the time I gave my life to Jesus, He told me to live by faith. He's going to provide for us. He thought, I'm a crazy, but faith is always a crazy thing. Amen. So what happened? And then Lord spoke to me, this is my turn to fast and pray. And as I was fasting and praying on a Monday, July the 12th, you know what happened? Our host family came right in the middle of our prayer and told us, sorry, we cannot keep you anymore. We have to, you know, you should pack your things and leave our home tomorrow. It was so scary news. Where am I going to take my daughters? Where am I going to take my wife tomorrow? Because not Muslims are after us, but there's some other problems over there. In every 5 minutes, when more than 200 ladies are abused in South Africa, and most of those ladies are abused in the name of healing, that because the AIDS is the highest disease in that country, and they believe if they will have a relationship with the people, those who don't have, especially with the little babies, you're going to be healed from the disease called AIDS. That was so scary, scary thing. I said, God, have mercy. Let me tell you something, you know, then you're praying and praying and praying, and it was like the, you know, our prayers just hitting the ceiling, coming back on our heads. That God gave me this revelation. You know what really opens the heaven? It was so amazing. We cannot get in God's presence with our own righteousness, with our own good deeds. The Lord starts showing to me. You know what happened? When Jesus was resurrected on the third day, He took His own blood and presented before the Father. And that blood of Jesus is sitting on the throne of God there, and that blood speaks for us. Because the Bible says the blood of Jesus speaks better than the blood of Abel. I said, Lord, not for our good deed's sake, not for our righteousness' sake, but for the sake of the blood of Jesus Christ, please answer our prayer. And as I said this thing, boom, I saw heaven opened, and I saw the throne of God, with Jesus sitting on the throne, and I saw his hand move like that. He said, it is done. Praise God.
I really understand on that day, it's not the my righteousness going to open the heaven. It is the blood of Jesus Christ which opens the heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus.
You know, I always begin my prayer with the blood. You know, because that is the powerful, you know, the tool, the key to have the heaven to be opened on you. Praise God. You know, then, you know, when I had this vision, you know, all the fear was gone. Next morning, I got up early in the morning, had a spiritual warfare, because God was showing to me, you know, as I was trying to bring Israelite out of Egypt, there was a spirit. It's called Pharaoh. You must fight against that spirit. I got up and did a 3-hour spiritual warfare, fighting against the spirit of Pharaoh. You know, God is going to accomplish things. God gives us the promises. You know, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible for us. You know, those promises are practically for us, but not potentially for us, as long as if we're not praying. Okay? It's like, you know, like you have a promise. But that promise is not going to be yours until that promise become a rhema to you. Are you getting it? So you can read the promise, you can say it, but that will not work until Holy Spirit really cook that word in your heart and make it eatable. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, it's a raw word. Okay? So really, really have to pray. Okay, so praise God. You know, then I was so scared. the devil started bringing all kinds of negative thoughts. Oh, today is... your life is going to be over. You know, you, your wife, your children are going to be deported back to Pakistan. You guys are going to be killed. 6 o'clock, the church driver showed up. He said, Pastor, you guys are ready to go back to the U.S. counselor because this is, you know, the fourth day. We need to be back over there. So, thank God the people were still sleeping. Those were planning to kick us out from that home. So we went them, you know, we left them sleeping. We went to the U.S. counselor. And I was praying, God, please go with us. And the Lord reminded me, I'm a God of Daniel. As I shut the mouths of those lions, I'm going to shut the mouths of the people in the U.S. counselor. They will not ask you a single question. When I came out of the car, I did the same thing. Holding the hand of Jesus, walking with Jesus. Because it is so scary just to imagine that here, you, your wife, your children are going to be killed. And if you miss a one turn, boom, you're going to be gone. So it's better to hold the hand of Jesus because then you will not miss any turn. Amen? Praise God. So glory to Jesus. I want to hold his hand. We're walking with Jesus. We went there. Praise God. We got our visas. We come back. These people are waiting for us to kick us out from that home. Before they will tell me anything, I said, you know, we got our visas for United States. They said, oh, that is a miracle. I said, yes, it is a miracle. They said, okay, you can stay a few more days till you get your plane tickets. And we have to have the plane tickets before July the 23rd. If you won't have the plane tickets before July the 23rd, we're still going to be deported back to Pakistan and we'll be killed. We got our visas on July 13. We only have 9 days to have a plane tickets for 4 of us. And we have no money, no credit card, nothing. You know what happened? We start praying again. Praying and praying and praying and praying. July the 20th came. It was a noontime. I heard the bell rang. I went outside. There's a tall guy standing. His name is Peter. He said, you know, I like to come in and like to pray with you. He came in and prayed with us. And after he prayed, he opened his bag. He said, Pastor, I brought these 4 plane tickets, booked, paid, confirmed. You and your family are flying to the United States on July the 22nd, 6 p.m. with the KLM and Northwestern Continental Airlines. And your final destination is going to be Colorado Springs. Sometimes people ask me, why I picked Colorado. I said, I didn't pick it. You know, it was God who picked that, you know, state for me. You know, maybe God have a plan or purpose. You know, now I understand, because that state is a pretty liberal. We're going to fight against that spirit. Amen. To change that state, you know, and have those evil people. You know, one other thing, let me, if you really want to get it crazy, let's do it together. Amen. You know what? You know, I really understood this is something in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and to build and plant. This is very interesting. You know, four words are used to destroy those things. You see that? What are those four words? You know, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, in the King James Version. You cannot establish or plant anything unless you root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. So now I really understood that, you know, if we like to see our states to be changed, if we like to see our government to be changed, if we like to see our senators to be changed, congressmen and president to be changed, what do we need to do? First, we need to fight against those principalities, powers, the rulers, and doctrines of wicked spirits, because these four words are used for that purpose. For what purpose? To fight against the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and the wicked spirits. So we need to pray against, first of all, many people say, I'm praying for my president. Many people say, I'm praying for my congressman. Many people say, I'm praying for senator. What are you praying? God bless them. That's not really a prayer. Okay? First of all, we must pray, you know, for the salvation. Okay. But how? Many people, they just say, God save them. No. That's not really, you know, you can see the answer. We must understand the Bible says, the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty in God, to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. So we demolish every thought, every pretension which is exalting against the knowledge of Christ. So when we're praying for our president, when we're praying for our congressmen and senators, this is the way we should be praying. Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the authority you have given to me, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind and I demolish every thought, every pretension, every idea he has, you know, which he has exalting against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I destroy it in Jesus' name. And I bring his thought into the captivity of my Lord Jesus Christ. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over his brain, right now over his thoughts, right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, that person to be saved. And if this is not your plan, right now for him or her to be saved, Lord God, just remove them from their positions. And Lord, I also pray that they will not be successful in the evil plan or evil agenda against Christian people, against this nation, against the Jewish people, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the word of God says, whatever you will bind on earth shall be bound from heaven. Whatever you will loosen on earth shall be loosened from heaven. You know, we need to be doing this thing.
Yes, yes. Many times we think, you know, God is going to do things. No, it's your job. God, the heaven will not, cannot bind anything unless it's not bound on earth first. Heaven cannot loose anything unless it's, you know, loosened on earth first.
Please understand, it's in our hand. You know, God has given you, appointed us over the kingdoms to destroy. And what to do? To establish the kingdom of Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why we are here. Praise God. You know, and I give glory to Jesus Christ that he brought us in this wonderful great nation. So let's work together and you know, impact this land. Amen for Jesus. Amen. Thank you so very much. May God be with you and bless you, Pastor Joshua. Let's pray.